This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Our guest this morning is Dr. Mark Thornton. Mark is a senior fellow at the Mises Institute, the author of The Economics of Prohibition and many important articles, the great truth teller on the housing bubble, I might mention among his many other achievements. But today, Mark, I want to talk to you about an area which, surprisingly for you as a libertarian, is where you think we ought to actually have bigger government. You want to explain that?
Yeah, much bigger government. I think that we should increase the size of government by about 1,000%. With respect to the number of congressmen that are in the House of Representatives, we've had 435 congressmen since 1920, and it's never been increased. It's never been changed. It's stayed fixed at that level for all these years. And if you go backward in time from 1920 backwards, you'll notice that the number of congressmen actually increased over time. And then in 1920, it stopped. And they passed a resolution that said, from henceforth, the size of the House of Representatives will stay at 435. And the excuse they gave is they were running out of office space. So you know you want to be very skeptical of that kind of solution, that government wasn't somehow willing to go out and build some more office space, given that they've built probably 10 million square feet of office space in central Washington, D.C. for government bureaucrats of one sort or another. So when I found that out, I became very skeptical, and over time I've learned that we do want a much larger House of Representatives in line with population growth. And so according to those previous growth patterns, we'd have about 6,000 congressmen. And I know that's kind of a shocking, horrific notion for most Americans and certainly most listeners of the Lou Rockwell Show.
But it's actually in our interest, isn't it, to have that many congressmen? It actually would restrict the power of government.
Yes, it makes congressmen more representative of their constituents. Right now, each congressman represents about 750,000 people. Back in the old days, it would be between 30 and 50,000 people. Today, most citizens, if they know who their congressman is, probably don't know where he lives or she lives, probably have never even visited the city that that congressman lives in. So there's a disconnect between the citizens and the Congress people, our representatives, whereas in the old days, everybody knew their congressman personally. They know where they lived, and if they had a complaint, they could go visit the guy's house and tell him exactly what they thought. So we're getting poor representation by our representatives under the current system. And studies have shown that the American people want smaller government. They want less spending. But because of this disconnect, congressmen pay more attention to the lobbyists and the special interest groups and less attention to their citizens, the constituents that they are supposed to represent. The other nice thing about a much larger House of Representatives is it makes the House much more different from the U.S. Senate. And there's a reason why you have a U.S. Senate and a House of Representatives. The small states wanted the U.S. Senate. The large populous states wanted something more akin to the House of Representatives. So they compromised and had a House and a Senate to represent their divergent interests. Now, the nice thing about that is the more different they are from one another, the harder it is for them to agree on a piece of legislation. Therefore, you get less legislation and less government because your interests are protected. Congressmen represent your interests better, and the House and Senate, the small states and the large states, have a hard time coming together to craft more and more legislation.
Wouldn't it be also be tougher just from a lobbying standpoint to organize 6,000 congressmen than it is 435? Just take many more resources, just much more like herding cats for the lobbyist who's wanting more and more government spending or disabilities on his competitors or, you know, all the wonderful other things they lobby for in Washington. I think you've pointed out that there's an analogy to the House of Representatives of the state of New Hampshire.
That's right. It's much more difficult. You just think of it, instead of 220 payoffs to get the House today, you'd have to have 3,000-something payoffs to get that much larger House of Representatives fixed. The state of New Hampshire has a huge House of Representatives. They're really citizen legislatures. There's 400 in the House of Representatives. And so each little town, each little hamlet has a representative. And as a consequence, they have a much leaner state government. And I did a study where I looked at state governments and the size of their house relative to the population, and also the size of their house versus the size of their state senate. And what we found was that in states with larger houses of representatives, there was less spending and a slower increase in spending over time. So it does actually translate into lower levels of spending and lower growth rates of spending when you have the House of Representatives large and when you have the House relatively large compared to your state senate. So it does work.
Mark, you mentioned there's a website that talks about this, and you also mentioned that there were, unfortunately, the first two items in the Bill of Rights never got passed.
Yes, the website is 30, spelled out, -1000.org, which is the minimum number of citizens per representative. Of course, today we have 750,000, but when the Constitution was formed, it's written in the Constitution that you had to have 30,000 people to have a congressman. But unfortunately, they never set the upper bound. You know, so if they had 30,000 was the lower bound and 50,000 was the upper bound, all of this would never have been a problem. And on that website, there's research and evidence. My papers are listed there, for example. And the amendment, the first thing the Congress did after it ratified the Constitution was look at the Bill of Rights. And the first bill did not pass. And that amendment to the Constitution set that upper level. It set that upper level that would have fixed the problem. Unfortunately, even though it was ratified by all the states, it wasn't ultimately included in the Constitution. And the second amendment, not the current one, did not pass. And that amendment said that if Congress, for example, passes a pay raise for themselves, it doesn't go into effect until after the next election. So the first two things that they thought were most important in this country was to not give the right to congressmen to raise their own pay and to adjust the size of the House of Representatives to population growth. And both of those, unfortunately, did not pass. The other 10 did.
Such a reform would also decrease the importance of the average congressman. I mean, it would be more like a state rep rather than the representative glorious power, the average congressman, with the one exception of Ron Paul, I guess, the only exception. So, you know, it'd be a great thing to have all these guys, Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner and all the rest of them, being much more visible as the pygmies they are, in fact.
Well, that's what led me to look into this in the first place, Lou. And that was way back in the days when everybody was talking about term limits. And something just wasn't right with me in terms of implementing term limits. And then, of course, there's a lot of technical reasons why you don't want to use term limits to control Congress and congressional behavior. And that's when I came across this notion about increasing the size of the House, and that's what they had done for the first 130 years of the nation, and then they stopped it in the 20s, and that's when this whole idea of raising, increasing the size of Congress came into play, was that if you make the position of representative diffuse enough, that an individual congressman isn't going to be interested necessarily in trying to make that a lifelong career goal. Basically, because you're only one of 6,000. And I've talked to representatives from New Hampshire, where there's 400 state representatives in a small state, and they really don't feel like they're an extraordinary person who deserves, you know, some kind of special attention. It's a normal job, and if they have changes in their lives and in their employment stuff, they just stop running to represent their little area. It's no big deal. Somebody else will take over, and it's not a big problem. You don't need to be a special expert. You know, you can have citizen legislators in a system like that.
I've always been opposed to term limits, too. I mean, in part because it's an attempt by the executive and by the supporters of an all-powerful executive to diminish the legislature. There's no, of course, term limits on bureaucrats or judges or other people. And this, of course, is a far better way to properly rein in the legislature and empower the people. So thanks, Mark, for telling us about this this morning. 6,000 congressmen, a great idea to limit the government. Dr. Mark Thornton, thank you. Take a look at his archive on Mises.org and LouRockwell.com, and great to have you back.
Thank you, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show, produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.